Hi, everyone. It's great to be here. Welcome back to Harvest Stories. If you haven't heard us before, we're a podcast that's all on about hearing people's stories. And we're on about hearing how God has been at work in their life. My name is Andrew, and today we have Steph joining us. Hey, Steph, how are you going?
Yeah, I'm going all right. How are you?
Oh, thanks for asking. I'm not bad, actually. This is my, fourth or fifth podcast ever. I don't know if I've completely understood how to lead one, but it's been really fun.
Cool.
Yeah, thanks. Hey, so Steph, why don't you tell us a bit about yourself? What do you do? What does your average week look like?
Yep. So I'm a shift worker at a hospital that I can see from out my window. I work at Auburn Hospital as a midwife there. So each week is slightly different because the shifts are slightly different. But I'm there part-time, which gives me a lot of time normally to go meet up with people and do stuff, but not so right now. So I'm either at work or at home at the moment.
Oh, no. What kind of stuff, if it wasn't Corona, if you weren't stuck at home, what kind of thing would you like to usually fill your kind of gaps with in that shift work life?
Yeah, so partly sleeping, which is part of shift work life, but also my granddad still lives at home. He's 99, so if I have a day where I can go and visit him, then I try and do that, or I'll read the Bible with people, or try catch up with a few people from church, things like that. Other than that, just, you know, the things that everyone has to do eventually, like cleaning or providing food for myself, you know.
I'm sure my life would really like to hear someone say that things like cleaning is just something that everyone else does, because that is something that I find very difficult to do sometimes.
Yeah, well, that's what I said. Eventually you have to do it, right?
Well, it's amazing. Just as I've been seeing in isolation, how often I've just found just more things to do around the house. I can't take any excuse to not be at the computer at the moment.
Yep.
So all of a sudden, if you see just that mess that you think will never, ever get dealt with otherwise, I now have something to do, and it's great. It's essentially just procrastination, but helpful. I find that quite enjoyable. You're at Auburn Hospital. Is this where you've always lived? Have you always lived around here?
So I grew up in the Inner West, which is only about a 20-minute drive from Auburn. But I wanted to move out of home when I could. So I pretty much started working at Auburn Hospital after uni. The great thing about doing a Bachelor of Midwifery is that you know what job you're going into. So I think after a couple of paychecks, I moved out with my brother to Baralla area, which is just the suburb next to Auburn, because I wanted to work and church and live in one area, which is why I'm still walking distance to both work and church, which is great.
Yeah, that's mad. It's really good that you can just kind of live so centrally to those things in your life.
Yeah, I recommend living central. I guess you have that being so close to college. But yeah.
Oh, I don't think anyone knows where I live. They do now. Whoopsie-doo. I wonder if I'll remember to edit this out. Anyway, I guess it doesn't really matter.
Okay.
So, Steph, what are you talking to us about today? What story do you have for us?
Yeah, so I thought I might share, I think, it's been a hard start to the year for everybody, and I've been a bit down about that, probably like everyone else. One of the things about work is that we have people from lots of different backgrounds, lots of different cultures, lots of different faith backgrounds, and so there's generally quite a lot of dialogue about what's happening in the world and different people's perspectives on suffering and things like that. There's also just been a bit of other tragedy around. One of my colleagues had a family member pass away suddenly, and that's really been a big thing at work with people coming to terms with how to care for her, but also just life sucks. And yeah, things like that. So there's been a lot of bad news around with that, the fires, at the hospital preparing for coronavirus. Thankfully we haven't had to look after anyone that's then turned out to be positive, but it's definitely caused a lot of discussion and in some people panic and extra stress, in the way that they treat people as well. But yeah, so that's what kind of all been going around, and I've been probably a little bit angry at God, in the midst of all these tragedies that have been happening, because a lot of people, their response to it can be that life just isn't fair. People are good people and these things are happening, which I find it very difficult to then speak into. I can definitely agree that life sucks, and I've actually really been enjoying the fact that maybe Australia is moving from a people are basically good to a people suck, with all the hoarding and stuff that's been going on. So I feel like that's a positive step, in terms of coming to a worldview that is in line with what God says about the world. I guess I've been a bit angry or sad at God, because I feel like when these things happen, sometimes they serve to push people further away from God, because they feel like, how can a good God let this happen to me, or this is just incomprehensible. I don't know what to do about it. But people won't go to God, or they don't know that comfort. Sorry, that's a very long introduction.
No. Please continue.
Yeah. So something that I was thinking about was, you know, how do I come to terms with the fact that I know that God is good, and yet these things do happen? I think it's a question everyone has to come to terms with whenever something bad happens. But I was really encouraged by remembering that, no, actually, we do know who God is, and we know that God loves us. We know this in a very concrete way, because God sent his son Jesus into the world to die for our sin. Jesus willingly took this on. He was, you know, enjoying eternal life, heaven with God, a perfect life, and he was, as the king of everything, that's his right, and yet he gave all of that up. He stepped into our suffering, not just because he was born kind of, you know, into a poorer family and that time in the world, but he stepped down to the level of a human. And then not only that, but he went to great lengths in order to die for our sin, because, you know, our sin is essentially the reason why this world is broken. We've broken our relationship with God, and so everything in this world is then, well, can suck. Bad stuff does happen in the environment, or the way that people treat each other, and all of this is because we've rejected God. And Jesus went to great lengths to fix that. He's actually come to solve that problem. And in doing that, he had to suffer a lot. He actually faced God's wrath, but he also faced rejection from people, physical pain, like all these things. So I was really encouraged by the certainty of God's love for us. And this is actually the hope that I want to be able to share with my colleagues, or you know, with friends and family that don't believe. Because on one hand, I'm really great at agreeing at what's happening in the world is terrible, but I find it hard to segue into talking about the amazing hope and the certainty that we have with who God is, and the fact that because of what Jesus has done, we actually will get to enjoy eternal life, and we even get to taste that now, like living with Jesus and knowing that he loves us makes such a big difference for anyone going through tough times in life. But I think for everyone in the world right now, it's so important. That's what I wanted to share. Because the way that I I tend to need to reflect on things, I kind of just needed to write a song about it. So once I did that, after a couple of days, kind of singing it to myself, I felt much better. But that's generally a sign of something big that I've been reflecting on. So that's why I decided to share that story with you.
Oh, thank you so much. It's so painful to consider all the suffering that can go on in this world, hey? And I think even as you were saying, just talking to people in the workplace and agreeing with them that there is just so much pain that can come from this world. That's just, it's so, so true. But I just reflect on what you're saying. I've been really encouraged just to think about how you were talking, Jesus takes on that suffering for us as well, that he suffered for us as well. Would you mind just maybe letting us speak a little bit about what you mean by his suffering?
Sure. Well, Jesus is suffering, like he suffered in many ways. One, simply because he didn't have to, you know, Jesus didn't, he's God. He doesn't need to be hungry or nearly drown in a storm, or he doesn't need to be crucified. Partly also he has every right to not allow people to reject him. Like Jesus was betrayed by one of his closest followers and for money, essentially. He was arrested at nighttime, like under cover of darkness. He was put on like this false trial. It was like he was faced injustice, and to try and quiet everyone, they just decided to beat him up, which then didn't quiet the crowd. They still wanted to crucify him. There was a lot of mocking involved, like kind of suffering on every level. And then on top of all of that, he actually faced the complete wrath of God on our behalf, like alienation from God, the punishment for our sin, death. So Jesus, I think, suffered in every way possible.
It really, for me, certainly, it just puts things into such perspective. Even just thinking about how God can care for people so much that he suffered for people so much. What a beautiful reminder, hey? I have one last question, but I'm very curious. You, in kind of a response to this suffering, you mentioned you wrote a song. Would you maybe like to tell us a little bit about what it's about, what your process is, or why it was that was something that you did?
So it's a thing that I do every now and then. Generally, if at church or Bible study we've come to the end of a series, then sometimes it's just a great way to sit down, reflect on what's actually been in that book of the Bible. And I'll kind of string a few things together, come up with a theme, and then the theme ends up as the words for the chorus. The only corded instrument I can play is a ukulele, because the ukulele has four strings and I have four fingers. My mom is a piano teacher, but I did not learn from her. And essentially I come up with words and a tune sort of pops out. And when it kind of is singable or something, then I'll sit down with my ukulele and try and put chords to it. So the song that I ended up writing in reflection on this was essentially about what I've been talking about, the fact that Jesus went to the cross, that's what it's called, that he didn't just sit around. He's not a God that sits around doing nothing. He's not like people that make policies in ivory towers and don't actually experience reality and, you know, make decisions that make no sense for people on the ground. He actually became a human. He lived with us. He died for us. And that is how we know that he loves us. And so even in the midst of everything in the world, we can praise him for who he is as a good God.
What a great reminder. Well, thanks so much, Steph. Thanks for your time. I look forward to logging into Spotify one day and hearing that song. It's been really encouraging hearing how you've been reflecting on the suffering of Christ. So thanks so much for sharing with us.
No worries. Thanks for asking.
All right. See ya.
See ya.